got a beard and it's looking something fierce. Having beers with my peers and talking rap careers. Reflecting on the years, connecting on the tears. Shipwreck faith ain't always as appears. I'm bringing you fresh music, I'm bringing fresh ideas. I'm bringing you the dudes in the indie music biz. Chilling at the shows and talking about the pain. With people who learned how to face it and be sane. Sipping on a brew, doing interviews. No topics off the table, but we focus on breakthroughs. So kick up your feet, we're gonna put it in check. You're listening to Brews, Beards, and Shipwrecks.
1, 2, 1, 2, a mic check. Stone Bands, Royal Ruckus on the scene, just to announce.
We got the brews, we got the beards. Tasty interviews for your ears to hear.
1, 2, 1, 2, a mic check. Stone Bands, Royal Ruckus on the scene, just to announce.
We got the brews, we got the beards. Tasty interviews for your ears to hear.
Welcome to a very special episode of Brews, Beards, and Shipwrecks. I'm your host, Jamie Bennett, also known as Chun Jay from Royal Ruckus. Nomadic Vagabond is not with us tonight. He'll be back with another episode very soon. We've got some great stuff coming. For today's episode, we have a special guest, my grandma, Colleen O'Farrell Pitts. She was a wonderful woman. She was born in 1930, and she just passed on Valentine's Day. She died on February 14th, 2024. She was a wonderful woman, 94 years old. You may have heard the episode we did with her aunt, my Aunt Mary. This is in the archives if you'd like to hear it. It's a very wonderful, wonderful conversation from many, many years ago. This one was from years ago as well, but not as far back as the interview that I did with my Aunt Mary when I was in middle school and put on this show. The episode today was recorded, I believe, in 2017, possibly 2018, and it was when the show was fairly new, and I was kind of feeling things out on how the show could be and what kinds of guests we could have on, and I did a lot of interviews that didn't see the light of day. They didn't see the light of day for various reasons. Sometimes they needed a little bit of editing. And then in other cases, I actually had a hard drive crash and lost some episodes. So I've had a number of people that intended to be on the show that were never on the show. In Grandma's case, there were a couple things that were personal about our family. And after enough time had passed, I decided to wait. To wait until she had passed and then go ahead and share the episode in honor of her. So that's what we're doing today. This episode is very special to me. You know, in hindsight, there's a million other questions I would have loved to have asked. I highly recommend if you have an older living person in your family who has been a blessing, take the time to ask them some questions and hit record because people will like to hear this. So this episode is very special to me. I had a very nice time with Grandma. Now, I will say a couple of fun things about this episode. First of all, I tried to get her to tease me because she used to always tease me about my beard. She used to tease me about tacos, and she used to tease me about hip-hop. And I tried to get her to tease me on all three fronts, and she wouldn't do it. She was just being so sweet and friendly. I suppose she realized that she was on an episode of a podcast. She may never have even heard a podcast, but she knew that there were people who would be listening to it. So she didn't tease me. She was very polite and friendly and encouraging. And that's actually a very sweet and endearing way to understand my grandma. The other thing is, she talks early on in a way that modern people wouldn't talk about homosexuality. And yet, nonetheless, she's sweet and endearing. And in a world where people are so quick to, you know, cancel others for how they say something and don't say it the perfect way, that was one of the reasons why I held on to this episode. I was thinking I was going to edit that out. But Grandma had a heart of gold, and I think when you actually listen to the words she says, that comes through very clearly. So please, I hope you enjoy this episode, and we will be back soon with some more current content. Check this out, Colleen O'Farrell Pitts.
Yeah, boy!
I don't get to see very many of my kids these days.
Yeah.
Everybody lives all over now.
Well, now, how many kids... You have five kids.
I had five.
Uh-huh. And then how many grandkids at this
and
point?
And I had 15 grandkids and 25 great-grandchildren so far.
Oh, wow.
That we know about.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so you were telling me earlier a little bit about like where you were born and
the neighborhood right you grew up in. Yeah, I was born right here in Bakersfield, in my grandparents' home.
Yeah.
They took us all in. They had my parents and me and my Uncle Bill and my Aunt Liz, and they were another family of my mother's brother, and they had them living with them too in that little bitty house where Aunt Mary used to visit Aunt Mary. Yeah. We all lived in that house.
No, it was like one room at first, right? And then it got built
just
off
about,
of? Or?
Uh-huh, they had a bedroom, and it was a skinny one, too.
Yeah.
They just had twin beds and one at each end. They weren't together or nothing,
yeah.
You know.
The
twin beds weren't in this little old house. And they lived there for years, since before I was born.
Right, yeah.
And anyway, we had a doctor. His name was Dr. Kreese. And he was a family doctor.
Okay.
And he would come to your house and deliver your babies. I was delivered there in my grandparents'
in
home.
House.
And my mother was, my sister was too. And so my dad lived there with them. And then they went up about a block further on 28th Street there, and they built their home.
Okay.
I was about probably 3 years old by the time they got it, everything finished. And then I think we all slept in the one bedroom there when it was little babies and stuff,
okay.
You know, my sister and I.
Yeah.
I don't know how she arranged that. And then later they built a little room on the back of their house for my sister and me.
Okay.
And it seemed crowded and everything, but it wasn't bad, you know. We didn't have much junk all over, like in this house.
Yeah.
We have so much junk in this house, you can't even move. I bet I run into everything with my little cart when I go out the door there, you know.
Right, yeah.
But it was fun living there. And there was a railroad crossing way about a block away from us. And, of course, you could hear the trains at nighttime and stuff, you know, but you get used to that. And you can sleep through everything.
And you said the house was partially built out of cardboard, right?
My grandmother's house.
Oh, okay.
That for the walls and stuff, they would.
That was like the insulation.
Put cardboard on for the walls instead of a lot of plaster and stuff like that.
Oh, I see.
And then paint it, you know, or put wallpaper on it, and then they'd change it. I guess once in a while. I don't know.
Sure.
I never saw them do it, but
interesting.
They must have covered it several times, and she had a peach tree there, the most delicious peaches you could ever eat, and us kids just gorged ourselves on those peaches. We would climb up on top of the house, you know, and my grandma would be in the house. She'd hear us running around on top of the house there. And she'd say, "You kids get down from there right now."
Yeah. Wow.
But it was fun. Those peaches were, the way I remember them, they were absolutely delicious, you know. But probably I'm just remembering them because I loved them. So then we did have a session where we'd can peaches there. And us kids had the job of peeling them. And to put in the jars, we didn't get to do the canning itself. They never let us around the stove or anything, but we got to do the icky work.
Right, yeah.
The peach fuzz and everything all over your hands and everything.
Sure.
But they were wonderful grandparents. I had wonderful parents and wonderful grandparents.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about your parents. I mean, I knew them as a child, but you obviously knew them a lot longer than I did.
Well, yeah, you came along towards the end there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, my mom, she's a beautiful lady. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Neither one of us looked like my mother. We favored Dad more, my dad. I think I looked like Aunt Mary once in a while, but I think I look like a lot of the people, our relatives from West Virginia on my dad's side. But anyway, and let's see, I was trying to see. Oh, my mother belonged to this Indian club, you know.
Okay.
My grandpa belonged to it. He had a feathered thing, you
sure.
know, an Indian hat, or what they call them, a hat, or feathers and everything,
right?
And
headdress or something,
a headdress, yeah. And she was in a parade, and my dad he saw her, he just fell in love with this looking at her, you know. And so he had to get acquainted with her because he really thought she was it,
yeah, yeah,
and she was. And so, I forget what he called her when he fell in love with her, but. Anyway, they started dating, I guess, and my dad had a lot of boxing matches in Los Angeles there. He was a little lightweight boxer, you know?
Right.
And so he would have to go down there. And I remembered reading, your mother has some, I made copies of the letters and stuff he used to write to my mother. And I gave your mom a set of them and everything.
So oh, that's cool.
You might want to read them sometime.
Yeah. His
little love letters and love notes and stuff that he used to send her before they got married. And this was back in the 20s, because I was born in 1930. And
okay.
They got married in 1928, I think.
Okay. 28.
Yeah. And because, anyway, I was born in 1930. And then that was right after the Depression. It was still part of the Depression was going in the part early 30s, you know.
Yeah.
And then when President Roosevelt took over, well, they would have never voted for anybody but President Roosevelt, you know. He okay. had four terms. And that ended that four term when he was there, but they would always vote for President Roosevelt. I don't know if he was good or not.
Right.
He got us
depends through, on who you ask.
Yeah. He got us out of the Depression. I mean, you know, after he came in there, then things got better. Businesses and stuff started okay. picking up. And so the Depression was ending. And then in 1941, of course, then we got into the war, Second World War.
Right, right.
And that brought us out of the main part of, Depression and everything, you know.
Yeah.
And so the country started feeling and doing better, making money and stuff. And it'd been pretty good for a while, but then these wars just kept coming. But
right.
anyway, my dad always had this business of working with floors. You know, he did hardwood
right.
floors all the time. That wasn't his first job he did. He used to box and stuff like that. But
yeah.
But I can remember them telling me one time during the, when they were having a tough time of it, you know, getting food and stuff like that. He went out to the orange groves way out there off the East
okay.
Bakersfield.
Yeah.
And he started picking what he thought was oranges. This was at nighttime because they were stealing them, actually,
yeah.
you know. And he says, boy, these are sure big oranges, you know. Anyway, when he got home, they were grapefruits.
Oh. But, yeah.
But my mother planted some grapefruit seeds in her backyard.
Were those from the ones that he... Uh-huh. That were stolen?
Uh-huh.
That's amazing. Yeah. I remember those grapefruits.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
They were very tasty.
Yeah.
Nobody eats them now because Greg went and trimmed off the branches pretty hard. But my mother and father, they drank grapefruit juice every single day.
Wow.
We used
when we would go over there, we would get a sack of them and
uh-huh.
then we would cut them in half and put some brown sugar on it.
Oh,
and
that, yeah.
And we would eat them with a spoon
uh-huh.
at breakfast.
That's the way I ate them, too, but I liked them with salt on them.
with what?
Salt.
Salt, really?
Put salt on them.
Okay.
That's the way I liked them. But anyway, my mom planted those grapefruits out there, and my dad said, you're never going to grow any grapefruits, you know, like
yeah.
these. That tree grew so big. And,
yeah, it was
and,
huge.
And for my sister's wedding, they made punch, you know, and everything with using a lot of grapefruit
wow.
juice in it.
That's awesome.
Punch and everything. And then my dad, my mom would give us a bunch of it too, you know.
Yeah.
She'd always put it in his old milk cartons, you know,
yeah.
and put it in the freezer. And so we had lots of grapefruit juice all
of
our
yeah.
life there. But
well,
anyway.
Now, growing up, what would you say, if you can think of anything, was maybe the hardest thing you faced growing up?
That I faced?
Yeah.
Well, to tell you the truth, I don't remember being, we always had food. We always, my mother was always home.
Yeah.
And I could remember coming home from school every day, saying, Mom, you know, call for her first.
Yeah.
Because back in those days, the women didn't do all the working like they do now.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember coming home one day, and my grandmother was there, and I got upset, you know, worried about my mother, and found out she was in the hospital. She
oh.
was having some surgery or something. I think she had an ulcer or something. I can't remember. But she was in the hospital for a little bit, and that really bothered me a lot because my mom was always home.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, and we raised chickens in our backyard.
Oh, nice.
We had chickens, and then she got six turkeys. Boy, those are the meanest birds I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
She wouldn't even let us go in the cage with the turkeys because they were mean.
Wow.
And she socked one of them.
Really?
Yeah. Knocked a goofy. But anyway, she wouldn't let us kids do anything. It was dangerous. We got to go in and feed the chickens sometimes. But
yeah.
And pick up some eggs and stuff like that, you know, okay. out of there. But to this day, I can't eat the skin on the chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I used to watch those chickens just get in the dirt, you know. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
Wrestle like little dogs, you know, in the back there. But and my favorite chickens, though, were the brown chickens. They were the nicer ones.
Yeah.
The little white ones, they raised those mostly for killing them.
Yeah.
And my grandma would come up and help my mom. She'd kill the chickens. She was raised the old time ways where they had to kill things yeah. to eat it. And yeah. I can't kill anything to eat. I wouldn't. We'd just starve to death, I guess, if it depended on me to kill it.
Yeah.
You know, because I couldn't do it.
Well, I always remember, and this is, you know, years later when I came around, obviously. When I think of Grandma, Grandma O'Farrell, I often think of how hard she worked in the kitchen for Easter and
oh, yeah.
Thanksgiving and all that. In fact, on one of my songs, I actually mention her.
Mm-hmm.
I mention her working hard in the kitchen while the kids are tumbling around and
yeah,
in know. The yard and all that.
She was very good teacher too. She ran the house. My dad didn't.
He's just
a silly, funny Irishman, you know, just always wanting to have fun. And,
yeah.
And everybody loved him for that because my mother had to do all the serious thinking, you know, because he wasn't able to do it.
Right.
The way she was brought up was the real tough times, you know,
yeah.
where they were up without foods lots of times and stuff like that, you know, when she was growing
yeah.
up. But and they lived in a little cabin in Oregon there. And my grandpa would go out and they'd eat a bear once in a while, kill a bear or something, you know. And they'd have to hunt for their food and stuff. Like, I don't know if you ever watched the Waltons, but...
No, but I'm familiar with them, yeah.
Yeah, I just love one of my favorite shows. I guess it's because it took back time when I was on the earth, you know. And it was during World War II and so on, you know, it took in all those. Well, I was 11 years old when that war started.
Yeah.
So, but I could remember everything, you know. I could remember
sure.
Being in school and they when the war started and everything, that they had a radio in the classroom. I could remember where President Roosevelt declared war on the Japanese, you know.
Yeah.
After that. And they played it in school. I guess they wanted us to realize, you know, that. And I remember we came home from school one day. I got home first, and my sister came home, and she was all scared and worried because she was afraid they were going to bomb us right away. You know, they put us all on alert and everything that we were supposed to. We had curtains on all the windows where you couldn't get light out, you know, and stuff like that at nighttime. And I can remember those curtains; they were dark blue and. And we had to have them covered up at nighttime so that it didn't show our city off, you know, and the lights and stuff.
Yeah.
Not that we ever had any problems or not,
sure.
but you could have, you know. I can remember some of those things, but I don't think about them much.
Right, right. What has been your greatest joy in life?
Well, I guess having babies and having family life, you know.
Yeah.
Get married and doing all the normal things that people do.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to realize that, you know, I know that you're never supposed to say anything against gays or anything. I know, and I had a lot of friends that were gay and stuff, but I don't understand it. I just can't understand how they could be that way. It's just not normal.
Yeah.
You know, back when I was growing up, that was a terrible thing.
Yeah, yeah.
People ignored him and all, but I've had some good friends and everything too. But I would never ever criticize them or anything like that. But and I'm almost afraid to ever say anything because if
sure.
they want my opinion, they'd have to take it the way it is. I
right,
just don't approve
right.
of it, you know.
Yeah.
And I feel like they should have worked harder to be more normal, but they don't feel that way.
Yeah. You know, you talk about family and. But there's always a lot of difficulties in life.
Yeah.
And I was curious, like on a personal level, you know, how did it feel for you when my dad died and you watched your oldest daughter with four of her own children having to be widowed at such a young age?
Well, it was sad because I loved your dad too, but I could remember I lectured him every time he came over. He never would put his seatbelt on, and I don't know why he thought that he would just be special or something and never hurt himself, you know. But I always say, now, Bill, put that seatbelt on, and he'd just laugh, you know, and drive off and everything. But I really felt bad when he had that accident because my mother, and of course, she always, with any family problem, she was always the first one on her way. I can remember passing her up on the freeway. She was on her way out there to Kathy's house.
Yeah.
And I just passed her up and beat her up there, but she wouldn't drive fast or anything. But I really felt bad about that when Bill hit the earth, and just because he wouldn't put his seatbelt on, they said he probably would have been all right, you know, if he had the seatbelt on, but he didn't do it, and I guess it threw him out of the car or something. Yeah. And the car landed on him. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was definitely a traumatic and unexpected thing.
Mm-hmm. You were too young to remember too much about it.
Now, you were also widowed fairly young, weren't you?
I was 40. I just turned 40 the month before, and then, but I knew he wasn't going to make it, you know.
Right.
When they made all those tests, they told me that he wouldn't make it. They gave him that chemotherapy. I'll never take chemotherapy if I have my will, because I just don't think it does any good. And why would you want to live any longer if you're miserable like he was?
Yeah.
You know, he was so sick.
Right. How was that process for you? I mean, you had kids living at home at that time right?
Yeah, it was hard for me because I was not a leader.
Okay.
I depended on my husband to do all the disciplining and stuff like that, you know, and my kids just walked all over me because I never could control them the way that I should have, you know. And so when I lost him, it left it up to me to be the one to kind of guide the kids and do the right things by them and everything, you know, and I never felt like I ever did a good job on them or anything. And that's probably what's wrong with my two babies now.
Yeah.
But
what would you say is the most difficult thing you've ever faced in life?
Well, it's hard for me to say. My grandmother, I guess when she died, that was the first person in my family that died, you know, and I never understood death then. And I remember I cried and cried until my eyes were almost swollen shut and everything, and I had to go to the funeral with dark glasses on and stuff like that, you know. And I guess I was more depressed over that than anything else in my life was when I lost her. And I can remember at nighttime I would dream that she really didn't die, you know, that she was still there, you know, and then you'd wake up, of course, and you knew it wasn't true. And then I did that when my husband died, too. I kept dreaming that, oh, they made a mistake, you know, it wasn't really true. He's not dead. And things like that, and I guess that bothers you more than anything else, just realizing, you know, that they're gone from this earth right now. But then I always have hope that I'll be with them again.
right.
You know, that's my whole belief is that they're not really gone, they're just... The Lord called them home for a while.
But, do you think about death much?
Oh, no, not anymore. I used to think about it a lot, but then I realized that when you're close to death as I am now, I don't dare say anything to Susan that I'm going to die someday. She don't believe it, you know.
Right.
but my attitude has always been the same, you know, whatever happens, it's going to happen, and you just have to learn to accept the things, whether you like it or not, you accept it, and then you can live happily about it. I never have been depressed about anything.
Okay.
But all my kids, they get depressed about things every once in a while.
Yeah.
But I've always had a happy attitude about everything.
Yeah, well, that's true. You definitely have.
Yeah, I've always felt good about I love life and I love nature and I like looking at beautiful things, you know, yeah. and stuff like that. I don't like traveling. I like being there, but I don't like going.
You don't like the process? Yeah, yeah.
And flying, I used to think flying would be the best way to go, which it is, the fastest and everything.
Yeah.
But I'm scared of flying now because so many people are trying to knock down airplanes and stuff like that, you know. I don't like high places.
Yeah, yeah.
My stomach jumps every time I look over a dam or anything like that, you know. And I remember when we used to go to visit a dam or something, and we had the kids, they were little. And they'd be running all over every place, and I'd be scared to death that they were going to fall off that dam.
Yeah.
And Jerry didn't worry about it one little bit, you know. And I couldn't watch.
Yeah.
My stomach actually jumps when something like that happens.
Yeah.
But I've always come out of everything and never been depressed, and so I always figure, well, time might come when I will get that way. I don't know.
What's one thing that you would hope that all of your grandkids and great-grandkids would do or experience in life?
Well, I don't care about who they marry, or as long as they're going to be happy with them. I don't care if they're a different color than they are or whatever. Nothing bothers me like that.
Yeah.
I've never been prejudiced against any race of people. So nothing like that ever bothered me. But I want my grandkids to be happy, but I mostly want them to love one another, you know?
Right.
Like, If I go, I want my kids to help any one of their brothers or sisters, you know, that might be in trouble or something like that. Let them know that they still love them no matter what time goes by, you know. Because life is very short.
Yeah.
And if you spend your life being ornery or hating somebody, you're just going to grow up miserable all your life. And I don't want my kids to do that. But I can't control that either. I try not to butt into anybody's life or anything to where, you know, I don't pass out a lot of advice or anything like that. Unless they ask me something, then I will tell them what I think.
But sure.
Most of the time, I just try to stay out of all the problems and stuff like that.
Right. Well, I want to ask you a last little set of questions. These are a little more fun and silly. Okay. What do you think of rap music?
Well, I like some of the music.
Yeah.
I don't like the hard rap.
Yeah.
I don't like, you know, I love jazz.
Yeah.
I love swing music. I love real beautiful music.
Yeah.
I don't care too much for opera or any really old type of music.
Right.
You know, I like modern music, but it has to be something with a beat. I like rhythm.
well, rap music has definitely a strong beat. The harder stuff, it's kind of funny. You used to live in Compton, right? For a while?
Mm-hmm.
So some of the harder stuff actually came out of Compton.
Yeah.
Now probably, I guess you were there in the 60s and 70s or late 60s,
yeah,
early 70s?
Yeah, your grandpa died in 1970, and so we were there in the late 60s, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, so that was definitely before the birth of rap music. And
it
would have been
before your mother got married.
Okay.
But it was just about, she was engaged to your dad.
Okay.
Then when we lived in Compton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the area in Compton you guys lived in nice, or was it
run down? Oh, it was a beautiful little city. It was
beautiful.
And then I don't know what they did to it after all those riots and stuff they had down there. It probably messed it all up. People were stealing your furniture out of your houses and stuff like that, you know. It just went to pot then, I guess.
Yeah,
what it
yeah.
was, pot. But I can remember, it was really beautiful. It had a beautiful little park out where we lived, and we were living in an old house. The guy bought it right after World War II, I guess, the man did, that owned it, and he rented it out, and I don't know where he lived. But anyway, we lived right next to a park there, and the kids' school was just around the corner, you know, down the street a little ways. And I didn't like traffic and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that was kind of scary, but because they had main streets that went through Compton then.
Yeah.
But it was a nice little city, but then we moved into Norwalk. We bought a house in Norwalk there. It was one of the houses that they were building on the freeways, you know, and then they moved the houses. And it was a nice little house. They just moved the house off the freeway thing there and put it on our land.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a nice little house, and the kids got to school there. And they could walk to their school. It was right up the block there. I remember Susan, Kathy, she went to high school there.
Okay.
And in fact, she drove your dad, one of your dad's cars to the school, and your dad told her not to do that. She did it anyway. You know your mother.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, she came out to get in her car, and it was all the seats were gone in it, you know. Somebody had stolen the seats out of it. It was the daytime, if you could believe that.
And, I think I heard about that.
Anyway, a friend of hers, a young man, I saw him driving the car to the house there, and he was sitting on a bucket or something, driving the car. He was sitting on the car.
Oh.
No. Your dad was a little upset with your brother.
And this was in Compton?
Mm-hmm. This was in Norwalk.
Norwalk, mm-hmm. Okay.
Which was right next to Compton.
Yeah.
And your mom was in high school there, and she was finishing, she was a senior, I guess, then.
Wow, and stole seats right out of the car.
Yeah. Oh, your dad was really upset about
that. Oh, I'm sure.
It was his Camaro or something like that. It was something that kids liked in those days, you know.
Well,
of course, we could never afford cars or anything like that for our kids. But your dad's dad, he had a washing machine business going, I guess. And so he had enough money, you know, that he could help his son out. But your dad was a good worker. He if he needed money, he'd go out and put a washing machine together and sell it, you know, for $50. And so he could make money for your mom there.
Yeah.
When they lived in Utah, I guess, she did washing and drying of the clothes and stuff, and he made the washing machine so that she could
<That's>
do
funny.
The washing and stuff. So they worked together. That's when they lived in, before you were born.
Yeah.
They lived in Utah then.
Right.
And then later they moved to, after Brady was born, they were just Zach and Brady then, was the only one she had. They went to Texas then, I think. He finished his some courses in Baylor University, I think.
Okay.
Probably got his master's degree there or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah. But I forgot about that. I've got a friend at Baylor. I need to tell her that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he got to attend Baylor University there in Texas.
Yeah.
And then they lived in Florida for just a very short time, I think.
Yeah.
And Kathy says she's never been so many places that was so hot as Florida.
Oh,
it was terrible.
Yeah.
She thought Texas was terrible too. But then we got into, my baby. Here's my little squirty baby.
So what do you think about your grandson being a rapper?
Oh, I think it's great. If that's what makes you happy, then I'd say keep rapping, kid.
Well, I will say I have a line in my new record that I say, making grandma proud by not cussing on the cut. So my music has always been clean, and I know you probably have never even heard my music. But
yeah, I can't understand what they're saying most of the time. My ears don't work as good as they used to.
Sure.
And words don't just kind of run together, so I don't understand all of them.
Yeah. Now, I made tacos for you last time I was here. What do you think about tacos?
I like tacos.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. I like the flavor. As long as they're not hot, I cannot eat their spicy food.
Yeah.
That is out. And I know all the young people love that spicy stuff, but it hurts my stomach.
Yeah.
I can't take it.
Do you like crunchy tacos or soft tacos? Or?
Oh, it doesn't matter. I don't have teeth that I can chew very well. So what
so
I
go
have
with
to
the
do
soft
is
tacos?
Cut food up
mostly,
you know.
I see. That's cool. What
these false teeth, they don't work very good on my eating anyway.
Yeah. So, So we've also talked a little bit about beards. Tell me beards.
Oh, beards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you guys love those beards. It's just that to me they're germy.
You think we can't keep them clean?
I have seen my son Steve, for instance. He doesn't have a long beard, but he always had a mustache
and
around there. and milk gets caught up in there, and if you don't wash it right off right away, it's going to sour and it's going to just be germy. To me, I just don't like them. I guess because my dad never grew a beard.
Sure.
Or mustache or anything. I don't. But maybe he couldn't. I don't know if he even wanted to or not. But
no. But I have a red beard, and I'm pretty sure I got it from.
Oh, you got that from the Irish
from him.
Side.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. When my dad had whiskers, you know, just not shaven.
Yeah.
They were red.
Okay.
They were red. His hair was dark. He had dark hair, but the rest of him was like a redhead. He had freckles. And everything like that, just everything that a redhead has.
Well, pretty much every time I see you, you say something like, I don't know why you have that beard. I want to see your face.
Well, yeah, I don't even know what you look like. You know, so sure.
Yeah.
They might feel the same way about my hair or something, too.
Well, a couple of years ago, I shaved it all off, and then I grew for a whole year. You probably remember when my beard got big.
Uh-huh.
So
wanted to take a pair of scissors and just I don't think your mama likes beards either, but...
She's not as a huge fan either.
So. No, but I figured, well, if that's what you like, just go ahead and wear it, you know? I think everybody has a right to do what they want to do with their own things.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. Well, the last thing, I usually ask people what their favorite rap song is of all time, but...
I don't even know what's on the music today. I really don't.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the nice songs are anymore.
Sure.
I remember Barbara Streisand. She used to sing some real pretty songs. And that Bettler, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
In Beaches, she did beautiful songs there about the wings of... The wings under your feet or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wind beneath my wings, I think.
I loved all those songs. I just loved them.
Yeah.
But like I say, I don't listen to music anymore.
Sure.
I've got some records, some things that Glenn, my Glenn, had sung for me. So I've got those tapes and things like that. So if I feel like it, I could get them out and listen to them once in a while, you know, if I could find them.
Sure. So if you were to think about it, can you think of a song, I'm sure there's many, but can you think of a song that was just very meaningful to you, that or really enjoyable, that you always would come back to?
Well, I know the music, but the song, I really like that one song they did in Ghosts.
Okay.
But I can't remember what the name of it is, but it kind of gives me a nice feeling when I hear it, the music, but I don't know the
words.
Was
it like a love song or something, or? I guess it would be if it was from Ghost.
Well, yeah, it was. It's a love song.
Okay.
I can't remember the name of it, but it's something about endearing, I think, or something like that.
Okay.
But Glenn always sang some really nice ones too.
Nice.
That I always liked. I liked his song he sang with that good Jennifer's Wedding.
Yeah.
My Little Girl, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad and sweet too, you know.
Yeah.
And I think Susie always liked songs like that too when she was young. Now I don't know what she likes. She don't sing anymore. She used to could sing real pretty.
Yeah.
All my kids could sing good.
I appreciate you letting me pick your brain on a few things.
I'm glad to. Just like I say, my brain doesn't work as good anymore. My hands don't work. My brain don't work. As you get old, that's what happens to you, Jeremy. You get a lot of wrinkles and stuff, and you say, I never saw that face before in the mirror.
Yeah, yeah.
And you look so different, you know, as you get older.
Right.
To yourself, you do.
Yeah.
And it shocks me once in a while.
Right. That's funny.
I know your mom, she listens to everything I say when we go out once a month and go to eat and we just talk more than anything else. And I tell her now, listen to this, Kathy, this is what's going to happen to you. Because everything happens to me, happens to her.
Right.
The same way.
Yeah.
There's just 20 years, you know, between, our ages and stuff. But Zach has just turned 48. Your mother's going to be 68. I'm going to be 88 on my next birthday. So we just figure 20 years for our three groups, our oldest ones, you know.
Yeah.
And the rest of the kids went, I don't worry about their ages so much, but I can remember Zach's age.
Yeah.
And Brianna was a year younger than him, so she was, and I worry about Brady because she's getting up there when she should be a grandma and a great-grandma and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And here she's going to be raising those two little girls, you know?
Yeah.
But we all make our choices.
Yeah.
And I always tell my kids and everyone that if they ask me, no matter what you do in life, I'll always love you, no matter what, you know? They'll always have my love. All you kids will. Yeah. I don't get to see you very often, but the things you do, I'm really glad you're into music and stuff like that.
Yeah.
My whole family's been into music. So I think
I appreciate that.
I love music. I even like some of the Beatles songs and stuff. And
yeah.
I love some of Elvis Presley's. I always thought he had a beautiful voice. And he sang kind of the songs I like, you know.
Yeah.
Some are funny and some are beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
And so I always like to listen to those. I always like Dennis Day's music. He's an Irish tenor.
Right.
And he always sang real pretty songs, too. But that was way back.
Yeah.
He's probably dead by now, too, because he was older than me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I haven't heard of him dying yet, so.
Right. Yeah, I haven't heard either.
I don't know. I've seen his wife in a couple of, well, at least one of Murder, She Wrote episodes, you know.
Okay.
But she's probably dead by now, too, because that had been 20-some-odd years ago, you know.
Right.
So you just never know who's alive and who's not.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
All my friends are gone. Just about all of them are gone now. So don't have any friends left that I can contact because I can't go anyplace or do anything, you know.
Yeah.
Can't move fast enough to go to parties or anything like that. And Susan won't let me drive more than a couple of blocks away, so.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him. I'm not a good driver, but she says I could go down to the grocery store and, you know, just in this area here.
Right.
And so there's PetSmart and there's a grocery store and there's a dollar store. They're all within a block or two, so I can go that far. And I can drive to church once in a while. She hasn't let me do that yet, but but I will get to, because I'm sure she will worry about that, because it's only a couple blocks down the road.
Yeah, makes sense.
But anyway, so I try to listen to Kathy and Susie, because they seem to be the ones that care the most about me. I remember your mother, though, when she came over. Susan called her and told her I was sick that day.
Yeah.
And she walked in the room and just looked at me, and she says, "You're going to the hospital." And I says, "I don't have to go to the hospital. I don't feel that sick." She says, "You're going to the hospital." So it's a good thing they took me over there. She took me to the hospital. No, she called an ambulance. That's what it was. The ambulance came and picked me up, took me in a rattly old it was bumpy.
Yeah.
They must not do the fixing of the, what do they call it, the shocks or something on the car, because it just bumped all the way. But anyway, it's a good thing I got there, because they discovered I was out of blood.
Yeah.
I would have been dead in a day or two,
I guess.
But I didn't feel like I was going to be dead.
Yeah.
I just felt like my stomach was upset.
Yeah.
So that's weird.
It's,
you know?
It's crazy. I mean, you don't want to play around with that stuff, especially.
No, that's why I do what they tell me to do. My mother was stubborn. She wouldn't do it. She would just do, "No, I don't want to go, and I'm not going to go, I'm not going to do this." She fell down on the street one time, and I know her hand was probably broken, but she says, no, I'm not going to the doctor." She said, "He'll just put a cast on me, then I can't do anything."
Oh, my.
But I'm not that stubborn.
Yeah.
I figure, well, Kathy and Susan, they've been around a little bit. They know what I look like. I didn't think I looked bad or anything, but Kathy said I was just completely gray. I don't know if I was or not. I didn't look at myself.
It's hard to tell with my mom, because she is a worrier and a worst-case scenario person.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's hard to tell whether to take her concern seriously.
Yeah.
But you probably should, to be safe. And
well, yeah, it wouldn't hurt me going to the hospital, even if nothing was wrong with me.
Exactly.
But They would have perked me up a little bit. Yeah. But they had to give me 3 servings of blood. I don't know what they call it, pints now, but pints, they're in those plastic things. They had them up on the thing. I had to take 3 of those, and they had to give me a blood test every, seemed like every 5 minutes. And they couldn't get my veins. And here they are sticking out. I could see them as plain as anything. Yeah. But they weren't sticking out then. They were just empty, I guess. Mm. And they stepped me, I don't, it must have been 50 times in the 4 or 5 days I was in that hospital there. Because they couldn't get the blood out. And they had, and it seemed like they had to have a test of 2 or 3 times a day. I don't know why. I slept through most of it, I guess. They might have been putting some sedatives in there, that thing that they were had dripping in.
Probably
did. And they had to put a couple of, put a shunt up here, a long one about 3 inches long, to get the blood there. And then they did it on this side too. So I was kind of bruised up on my arms there for a while.
Yeah.
But they pulled me out of it. But I'd still have to take the iron and stuff like that, although they said I'm not anemic anymore. So, I don't know. These doctors, sometimes I just don't believe them.
Yeah, boy! Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Brews, Beers, and Shipwrecks. Everyone has a story, and we like to bring stories to you. If you like what you heard, please give us a 5-star rating on the podcast platform of your choice and share out this episode. Brewsbeards.com. People can find everything there. Thanks for listening. Tune in next time.
Since day one, I've been ruckusing it up, making grandma proud but not cussing on the cut. A lot of things have changed in the world of Royal Ruckus. Some relationships are strange and new friends have come among us. Still down with MP Walker, we text all the time. I'ma be his friend till the day that he flatlines. But if I'm going first, he'll hoist me in the hearse, and I'll pray for him from heaven till sadness is reversed. Still eating bratwurst, still drinking Irish stout, still writing silly rhymes, still wrestling with doubt, still believing in Christ, still living this life, still walking in faith with my eyes on the prize. Still into girls, I'm now into beers. Hashtag no homo, no offense meant to queers. Misused it for years, now I'm redeeming the day. Serving food to the homeless, soaking up sun rays. From Cali to South Florida, what up Bakersfield? Still proud of my town, still running those hills. Still calling my dad, still cool with my brothers. Much love to my sister, my nieces and mother. Still working with kids, still shaping tomorrow. Still find a reason to laugh, even in sorrow. What else can I say? I'm a steadfast kind of guy. Back in the rap game and not about to say goodbye. Still.
Yo, the devil tried to choke me, but I'm still breathing. This world throws hard blows, I'm still bobbing and weaving. Still believing snakes is still deceiving, but I'm still stopping serpents, giving demons a beating. I'm still decreasing while God increasing. The revelations from heaven are still releasing upon the people that will still receive them. So stop sleeping on righteousness for no right reason. I'm still keeping the rhymes red hot. Pause the track, you still feel the aftershocks, because the epicenter still don't get no writer's block. The heaven sent to you, still with Christ, cipher unstopped. I'm still sinning and I'm still forgiving, and I'm still concerned with the way that I'm living. So I'm still searching for the sin kill, still instilling my soul biblical until time stands still.
Put the ashes of my sister into Oceanside Harbor. Moved to Tennessee where we buried my daughter. Life's torture only makes my heart softer for this culture. If they goes to get me hopeless, they should try harder. Cause it's still light where the cross is. Kill us all, we still coming back with Jesus and swords on white horses. Still go right where the lost is. Take the Aveo to San Diego, making these songs hit. Still on tour after 12 years doing it. 8 years married, still in love like a newlywed. 15 years with a busted lung, still using it. Healed, resutured, getting stupid in studios with an axe to grind against the masterminds. Keeping asinine mantras in the back of your mind and blind to the facts. I'm trying to crack some spines like adenines. Still absent-minded, and I count carbs these days. Still eat these white bread.